You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
So let's go over to that next voicemail and her rage now going that way. Not to I hit you, but she's trying to rationalize something else took place here.
John, I'm here with your fucking kids. Nobody knows what the fuck you are, you fucking pervert.
I'm here with your effing kids. Nobody knows where you are, you effing pervert. Nobody knows because nobody's been notified that nobody knows mm-hmm. where he is. The only person who doesn't know where he is her. Mm-hmm. So, that being said, the fact that she jumps over to trying to rationalize this, trying to find some other thing that he's doing rather than deal with what she just did to him. And again, you got a 0.27 blood alcohol level. You might be going in and out of remembering what mm-hmm. you have done. Mm-hmm. What's your take thus far as we're working through that?
Well, that's where you get into what is probably the interactional pattern and the interactional style. And from the alcohol, she's not filtering. She's not pausing to consider, is this a reasonable assumption that he's out having sex with someone right now and he's a pervert? You know, this is an old story that she has been telling herself probably for ages in this relationship.
Mm-hmm. And very much projecting too, because in reality, she's the one who's sending text messages to his friend, inviting him over to have sex.
Yeah.
So naturally John must be doing the same, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what seems to be going in her mind. Let's listen to another voicemail here. As it continues on.
The defendant texts John O'Keefe.
This is a text.
Your kids
actually
are cucking alone at 1:02 a.m. on the 29th.
So you had some guilting going on.
Defendant texts John O'Keefe, I'm back in Mansfield. The kids are home alone. 1:04:14 a.m. on the 29th.
Okay, so that's manipulation right there. Notice we're not getting any phone call here. John, I'm really worried about you. I'm really concerned. I'm here with the kids. You know, I'm going to keep them safe. You know, I'm going to stay here with them till I know where you are. But please let me know just so I can understand what's going on. None of that. Mm-hmm. No follow-ups. John, I still haven't heard from you. Please just let me know. No, it's I effing hate you. You're an effing pervert. Your kids are effing alone. I'm going home and I'm leaving them alone too. Because, of course, a responsible adult just leaves kids at home alone. Again, not a healthy reaction to someone who claims she saw him go into the house. Why all this rage if she just thinks he went into the house to go have some drinks with friends? And why this guilting in there? What's going on in her mind at this point?
Yeah, it looks like a pattern of manipulation and somebody that thinks in a very self-serving manner and thinks emotionally rather than logically. Mm-hmm. So I would guess that this is something that has been used previously in arguments.
It also seems to like demonize him in her mind. And if she did something bad to him, even if it's accidental, which I do think it was accidental, he has to be the bad guy because she can't be she can't be the bad guy. So she's starting to have to tell him herself bad things about him. He's irresponsible. Mm-hmm. He's not there for the kids. He's a bad guy. And that seems to be, do you agree with that? Of just kind of, this is like, it's the beginning of this coping method that people with narcissistic traits seem to have, where it's demonize the good person, the victim over here, so you can feel good about yourself.
Right. And it turns her into a victim and using the kids in that way too.
Mm-hmm. And here's the other, I think this is another one here where, let's hear it.
Yeah, it's 1 in the morning. I'm with your fucking niece and nephew. You fucking pervert. You're a fucking pervert.
So she's, I don't know if she said it on that one or if that's the next one, but she says in one of these here, I'm laying next to your niece, I believe. And she's on the phone saying that he's cheating on her and that he's a pervert. This is in front of the kids that are essentially his children now. Mm-hmm. And she's verbally demonizing their uncle, who is now their dad, in front of them. Let's talk about that one for a moment.
Yeah. Yeah, that is horrendous behavior. And kids should never be exposed to that kind of stuff. So again, is there really compassion for the kids? Or is that all just a show that makes her look like, see what a good person I am? But you're not acting with any awareness of the kids' needs if you say things like that in front of them.
And on a broader scope, let's talk about that. This is something that individuals like this tend to do. They will demonize the good person or anyone other than themselves as much as they possibly can. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't have to be friends. It could be friends. It could be family. It could be your own kids. Let's speak to that for a moment and how this behavior seems to fall in line with this pattern of, I'm going to now demonize you passive aggressively and covertly in front of as many people as I possibly can, because she does a lot of that in this morning. Where she talks about, well, he was sleeping with this person recently, even though it had been like 2 years before her. But she's constantly belittling John and just putting his character in a very negative light. Let's just talk about how people do that and what sort of trends that points at.
Yeah, it speaks of black and white thinking, of always having this tendency to be attached to someone, deeply attached, but at the same time have pretty terrible opinions about them and saying hateful things about them. Well, why would you, if you were rational, why would you be with someone that you think that little of? Mm-hmm. So it speaks of somebody who doesn't have a very rational way of being in relationships. Painting themselves as the victim.
Yeah. What's amazing to me about this is all happening in real time while the tragedy is unfolding. It's not happening like, I think a healthy brain, and correct me if I'm wrong, a healthy brain wouldn't be doing this, but a healthy brain, if you're going to go and figure out how to villainize someone because you don't want to be responsible, you'd almost have to like get out of the situation, get out of the trauma to even begin that sort of process. Mm-hmm. With her, it's like happening as it goes. It's just second nature. It's just as things are flying at her, as realizations are coming, she's crafting the narrative of what she's telling herself. Mm-hmm. It seems. Let's continue with this.
John, I'm going home. I cannot babysit your niece. I need to go home. You are fucking using me right now. You're fucking another girl. Kim sleeping next to me. You're a fucking loser. Fuck yourself.
Again, that's the one where she's literally laying next to the kid. Mm-hmm. Saying, and I think the tone is important here. Listen to how she says, you're effing another girl.
Another girl. Kim sleeping next to me. You are fucking using me right now. You're fucking another girl. Kim sleeping.
And maybe I'm digging too much or reading too much in, but it's not, you're effing another girl. You're effing another girl. This is what's going on. I mean, think of that tone. This is what's happening. It's not, this is what's happening. It's, this is her telling herself a story. This is not her saying to John, you're doing this. This is her telling herself that. Do you garner that out of that?
Yeah. It's the story that she has probably told herself repeatedly. And I think for people like this, they do legitimately have incredible, we'll just use the term low self-esteem. There are probably better terms for it than that.
Yeah.
A certain amount of self-loathing because it's hard for them to accept that somebody could really be loyal to them and really care about them. And so in that way, it says a lot about her sense of self. And that's kind of sad.
It is. I mean, at the end of the day, it's very sad.
Yeah.
That I mean, I see this, you know, when we look at these cases and you think about this and you go, gosh, it's just such horrible, horrible behavior. And there's such, but you're not them. You don't have to be them, because living in that mind, that's torture, because this is how you have to operate just to like get out of bed in the morning.
Yeah.
I think there's a little bit left.
Be nice to me. You're a fucking loser. Fuck yourself.
That might be it. I'm not sure. Then there was one last one. That was it. It sounds like John, and people are picking up on this differently. John, where are you? Or John, was that you? Is that you? I don't know exactly what it says. I always thought, where are you? But that one sounded really kind of nervous. That sounded like maybe there's something going on here. And let's talk about the 52 calls that were made. It was just go to voicemail, redial, go to voicemail, redial. And it goes on until about, I don't have the timestamp in front of me, but I believe it was like late 1-2-ish stops and then begins again right around 5 a.m. With the call and call and call. The repeated calls over and over and over. Is that someone who is worrying, or that's someone who's looking for confirmation that what just occurred did not occur and that he's okay?
Could be both. Yeah. Could be a bit of both. It certainly, if she knew he was dead, she would not be doing that. I would never believe that somebody, I mean, they might do, oh, let me make it look like I don't know he's dead by I'll call a couple times. But that is somebody who's in a state of hysteria, and rage can be a part of that. And it says a lot about the level of emotional intensity that she operates under. This is somebody who does big feelings.
Yeah, she does big feelings, without a doubt.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.